Good job, everyone. Before I even talk about Alex, I want to bring you greetings from a different congregation known as Roy Israel Abilene. Please come visit us sometime. I want to thank you for your amazing donations to help us through the fire. We are recovering. We're hoping that the Lord sends a little rain every now and then. That would be nice. Not like what Dallas got when they couldn't even get on the streets. Just a little at a time. He listens to me so much. Let me tell you a little bit about Alex. Alex and I go way back. In fact, I encountered him right over there. Because I was seated, let me see, just one row in front of where Scott is right now. And waiting for services to begin, and this little thin guy walks in and stands over there. In fact, I hardly saw him because he was sideways. And I stuck out my hand and I introduced myself to him and he to me, and I found that he wasn't from around here. I heard his story, Bert brought him up, and we have been working together ever since. 22 years now? 22 years.
That's right.
And while he's been doing that, he's planted congregations all over Zambia and now into southern Congo and now into Malawi and maybe Kenya.
Well, we have works in Ethiopia.
Works in Zimbabwe.
Zimbabwe.
So I'm losing track of the countries all over Central Africa. And there's an orphanage there that takes care of hundreds of youngsters. They are doing amazingly well. There's a school that takes street kids and brings them to faith and teaches them. And they are number one in academics in their district. And, yes, off the streets. They don't even have a place to sleep. But that's this lady over here. That's Faye's thing, and she's doing phenomenal work. Alex is going to speak to us this morning a little bit. Alex, please come up, and we're going to pray for you. Dear Father, we want to say thank you. Thank you for this free country. Keep it free a bit longer, if you would. Thank you for this congregation where we can come and worship you. And bow down before you, fall into your arms. We thank you for Alex has come all the way from around the world, and Faye has come all the way from around the world to tell us of the miraculous things you are doing there. Lord, you are gracious and mighty and good. Lord, we thank you for your work there. Help us to find a way to continue to uphold it from this side of the world so that your kingdom be advanced everywhere. Not only here, but there. And we thank you, Lord, in your holy name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Brother.
Shabbat shalom.
Did you practice the eroding blessing last night?
Well,
I think I
remember. Well, I'd like to say thank you very much for having me and my wife, Faye, who's here with me, and our last born daughter, Tikva. I bring greetings from Zambia, and I would like to thank Rabbi Bert Yellin and the leadership for giving me this opportunity to share with you what the Lord has placed on my heart. I'd like to thank this congregation. I believe the Lord, through this congregation, has done so much for the work in Zambia. Whatever has been accomplished in Zambia, you guys have been a big part of that. We thank you for your prayers. We thank you for your friendship. We thank you for your financial support. You've been there for us, and we pray for you as well, that the Lord will continue to use you in this part of the world. As Rabbi Jay mentioned, it's been 22 years from the first time I came here, and I came to seek the Holy One of Israel, to seek the God of Israel, to worship with his people. Little did I know that I'll be sent back and lead congregations. And I always tell people, be careful of the Bible, it will mess you up. in a good way, though. But the Lord has been faithful. Our God has been faithful, and with nothing, he has built us. He's opened amazing doors for us. He's brought abandoned and orphaned children into our care. We are taking care of close to 400 orphans. The Lord has given us opportunities that can only come from him. And we thank him for that. My message this morning is on anticipating revival. I strongly believe that the Lord is going to send a revival. There are two sides to a prophetic coin. And there's one side where the Lord tells us of the hardships that are coming, persecution. But there's also the other side where the Lord is promised to bring a revival. And it looks like we've spent more time focusing on the persecution and the hardships that are coming and forgetting on the renewal, the revival that the Lord is about to send to our congregations and to all his children around the world. The Lord has promised a revival that will surpass any that has ever existed in history. And we see it through the prophet Ezekiel. The dead bones will come back to life, and we shall live again before him. I know revival has always been the cry of God's children for many generations. It's not a hidden secret that many of God's children feel like there's a powerlessness in the body. There's a diminishing excitement for the things of our God. It's like we have all gone to sleep and the Lord has left the room. Sometimes there's a move of the Spirit and everything will come alive, look green, and then we all go back to the desert days. The prophet Habakkuk prayed this prayer, which I love to pray, in Habakkuk 3, verse 2. Adonai, I've heard the report about you, and I've come to fear. Adonai, revive your work throughout the years. Throughout the years, make it known. In wrath, remember compassion. It's a fact that sometimes we feel there's a spiritual stagnation, spiritual tiredness, and we, all of us, I believe, are ready for something fresh and exciting. And the enemy knows our desires for the move of the Spirit and is always coming up with all these fake miracles and moves, fake revivals and stuff like that. We have to be careful. We have to be careful as we wait on the Lord and anticipate the revival. The Lord has promised to send a renewal, a spiritual renewal in our lives and in the lives of our congregations. He has promised to give us strength. He has promised to be with us. Now the question that should arise or is, should not be when is revival, but are we ready for revival? I've been in ministry for 25 years now. In my short time in ministry, I've seen the Lord do amazing things. I've seen kings and queens representing tens of thousands of people come to faith in the Holy One of Israel. I've seen Muslims, I've entered mosques, Muslims coming to faith, tribal people embracing the one true God. The question is, are we ready for what the Lord has promised? Most of us live a defeated life. We look at ourselves as victims instead of victors. And that slows down what the Lord wants to do through us, because we always think it's all through our strength and not through him and his Ruach. I believe that his word will come to pass. There'll be a rejuvenation
that will cover the entire earth. The Lord promised that he's going to bring our Jewish people to faith in Yeshua. The Lord goes on to promise that he's going to gather a people for his name from all the nations on this planet. And when you look at the nations today, there are over 195 countries. There are countries, over 20 countries, that don't even have believers in them. Over 3 billion people have never been evangelized, some not even once. The country is missing in the picture, and the Lord has called us to reach out to them. And many of these people not just come without the move of the Spirit. Many of those people not step into the house of the Lord without seeing the greatness of our God. And I believe the Lord is going to do something big. We must understand when we look at his work that this is his work. It's the Lord who started this work. We're just a small part of this work. Each one of us are important elements of this work, of his work. But it's all his work. He'll take care of it. Even when we sometimes don't feel like he's around, there's a saying that if you can't see the hand of the Lord, trust his heart. Our God may be unpredictable, but he is consistent. He will always do things in line with his word. The Lord started this movement. It is the Holy One of Israel who came to look for you and me. He's very clear on that. You did not choose me, I chose you. The Lord called you and me, and if we let him, he'll complete the work he started in our lives. The great God of Israel always completes what he starts doing. This is why we don't find incomplete universes or incomplete mountains and stuff like that. Whatever he begins to do, he brings to completion. And he told our father Jacob in Genesis 28:15, we all know the story of our father Israel, what he went through, the odds that lay ahead of him. But our God told him in Genesis 28:15, behold, I'm with you, and I'll watch over you wherever you go, and I'll bring you back to this land, for I will not forsake you until I've done that which I've promised you. So what should we be doing in the meantime? We should not manufacture our own revival or spirituality. We should wait upon our God to move. Then what should we be doing right now? I believe this is a time to wait on the Lord. Waiting on the Lord is one of the hardest things to do. One of the most difficult things for a believer to do. We all want action. We all want to see people come to faith. We want to see healings. We want to see salvations. No one that I know of likes to wait. We don't want to wait in traffic, at the grocery store. I can safely say it is even worse in America, your great country. Everything here is like instant. People want instant results. And we've come up with quick fix solutions to almost everything. But we must understand that there are many things that require a process, and spirituality and waiting is one of them. No one grows overnight. We should remember that it is through waiting that the Lord molds us to become more like his son, Yeshua. What the Lord is doing in us while we wait is as important as what it is we are waiting for. Waiting, however, is not to be passive or to just sit around waiting for something to happen that will allow us to escape our troubles. Waiting on the Lord does not mean doing nothing at all. It is not a resignation from our spiritual responsibility and from fellowship.
Waiting is not a way of trying to evade unpleasant reality. Those who wait on the Lord must also continue to work for the Lord, because our work is not in vain. Every time we obey the Lord, every time we do what the Lord calls us to do, we advance His kingdom. The farmer can wait all summer. He's got the luxury of waiting for his harvest after he has done his work and watered the seed. But those who wait on the Lord cannot let go of their responsibilities. We're supposed to be confident in the God we wait upon. Waiting requires that we are disciplined, we are expectant. We are called to work with this great God. As we work, He's got a role to play, we have a role to play. When we are expectant, the Lord is more likely to move in our midst. We need to be active as we wait. Waiting is sometimes painful, but we need to learn to hold on to our God. Waiting, if handled well, will enable us to experience His peace, prosperity, and His power. The time to wait on the Lord is a time to build trust and patience in our God. Our God knows what He is doing. He has not gone to sleep. He has not forgotten you or me. He is actively at work in the here and now. His will is being accomplished throughout the earth. As we patiently wait upon the Lord, we are in a way acknowledging Him, that He is in control. And the benefit, the hidden benefit of waiting upon the great God of Israel, is growth, renewal, revival, patience, and strength. The prophet Isaiah had this to say in Isaiah 40, verse 31. But they who wait for Adonai will renew their strength. They will soar up with wings as eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. It is said that when the Lord wants to grow something overnight, He will grow mushrooms. When the Lord wants to grow a tree, He takes years. And you and I are likened to trees, trees of righteousness. The difference between a tree and a mushroom is that a tree has seen different seasons. A tree has seen seasons, all the seasons. And the Lord wants us to go through the seasons of growth, of trimming. The seasons when others backstab us, leave us, walk away from the Lord. When our numbers grow, our numbers shrink. When we seem to stand alone, the Lord wants us to go through all those seasons, and we'll come out as the trees of righteousness. It's almost impossible to see a tree grow in the here and now, in the moment. But when you look back after so many years, you see a difference. We need to embrace patience as we wait upon the Lord. May we allow Him to be the driver. Many times we want to drive, we want to direct the Lord, yet He is the way, He's the truth. As we wait for the Lord, may we continue to pray according to His will. I want to encourage you to pray for the salvation of all people. Salvation of our Jewish people. The Apostle Paul prayed in Romans 10, verse 1, brothers and sisters, my heart's desire and my prayer to God for Israel is for their salvation. If you didn't know this, the salvation of Israel and the Jewish people bring in a worldwide revival. The life from the dead experience will come with many of our people coming to faith. May we pray for the salvation of the scattered sons of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. We need the Spirit of the Lord
We can't do it on our own. If you've been involved in Jewish ministry, it's not easy. For me, we've been doing ministry to the Lemba Jews in Zambia, who are found mostly in Zimbabwe, Western Mozambique, Northern South Africa, and Zambia. It's not easy. These guys have been separated for centuries from Israel. They have no clue of what rabbinics is all about. I remember we were there sharing with them, telling them, you guys need to embrace the Torah. And one of the elders was like, hold on, who's this Torah guy? We only know the God of Israel. Some of our Jewish brothers from Ethiopia, who've lived in isolated communities, did not even know that the temple was destroyed long time ago. Still expectant that when they go back to the land of their forefathers, they'll go and worship at the holy temple. The Lord would have done it by himself, but he wants you and I to be involved. And we can do more by prayer, praying for salvation for our people. And at the same time, knowing that the Lord is using us to bring others to himself. When I experience some of the salvations back home in Zambia, seeing Muslims coming in, seeing tribal leaders coming in, like the king of the Kaonde, this man went to Israel. Where we come from in Africa, we have over 200 gods. The supernatural is real there. But this man wanted something more. Went to Israel and prayed. It was like laying a fleece. If you are the true God, send one of your own to my land to bless my kingdom. The king of the Kaonde has over 200,000 people. He came back. And some people say, we'll call it coincidence, but I don't think so. That's the time Rabbi J came from Royal Israel, came to Zambia, had everything planned for him. And when he came, he was like, you know what? We need to go up north. We need to meet this king. I said, Jay, it's not like you just go and say, hey, we want to have a meeting with you, oh king. There's a process. And it's not easy. And he was like, no, we have to go. He was so determined. And I was like, this can only be from the Lord. We weren't. The Lord opened doors, we met this great king. There are words that he spoke that have remained with me, and I believe they represent the viewpoint of many others. After Rabbi Jay shared with this man from scripture, this man bowed before the living God. And he spoke and he said, just looking at you, I'm seeing the miracles of Egypt. I'm seeing Isaiah, Jeremiah. I'm seeing Daniel. I'm seeing all the prophets. That's what you represent. Your God has called you to be his ambassador in this country and throughout the world. We've seen it among Muslims who have come to faith. Many of those come from countries where the gospel is not allowed to be preached. But the word of God is not bound. Yeshua gave the word, it will go, a prophecy, his word will go, the gospel will go to all the nations on this planet. Many of these people, some of them are having visions of Yeshua, appearing to them. I know of one guy who I met. The Lord appeared to him. His heart was hardened. He was against Christians and Jews. He was a terrorist. In other words, the Lord appeared to him, Israel is my people. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And he was told to go to this certain house to get a Bible. He showed up at this house, asked for the Bible. The people were terrified. They gave the Bible and left town. I know of another imam. He was over 200 other imams. The imam is like a priest or a pastor of a mosque. The Lord appeared to him And there is someone, the other imams, and he was like, I know you guys will, you might kill me for what I'm going to share with you. But Yeshua appeared to me. And he went on and told them the vision, the encounter. Most of them came to faith. Our God is working. It changes how you look at yourself. This is a time to grow our roots in our God, to know who our God is. Nations will come, as the Lord promised. This is a time to grow our relationship with the Almighty. We can't do all things, but through Him we can do all things. This is a time to get serious with our faith. Many times we look at our faith as if it's an option. This is our life. Outside of Yeshua, there's no life. There's nothing but death. This is a time to look at the world and look at ourselves through the lens of Scripture. When the Lord looks at us, what does He see? Most of us look at ourselves as victims, walk about as victims, but that's not how our God sees us. He says, you are more than conquerors. Greater is He who is in you than he that is in the world. Our God is not looking for numbers. He's looking for hearts that will be open for Him. When we look out there, we may see hopelessness. We may see rejection of the gospel. That's not what our God sees when He looks out there. In Matthew 9, verse 37, the Lord said, then He said to His disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. The Lord sees a harvest. Are we ready for the harvest? And this harvest will come as revival breaks out. In Matthew 26, 41, the last part, the scripture says, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. It's not our God, it's us. If we were to do what He would want us or require of us to do, this would be different. The gospel would be everywhere. Sometimes I think we slow Him down, because we think of other things that are important to us, but not to Him. I believe this is a time to believe in the impossible, because our God is a God of impossibilities. Nothing will stop or stand in His way, not even ourselves. This is a time to be excited about what the Lord is about to do, what the Lord has done, and what He has promised to do, regardless of what is going on, regardless of the politics, the economy, the wars, His will come to pass. I believe the Lord is going to fill His people with an earnest yearning for more of Yeshua and more of His word. I believe the Lord is going to fill His people with boldness, with a capacity and momentum, with purity of life, lots of conviction, joyful worship. We need a joyful worship. We need joy in our lives. We serve a God of life. Everything connected to the God of Israel is all about life. It's all about joy. And it's so hard to win people into our camp if we are kind of stressed and depressed. But if we allow the joy of the Lord to abound in our lives, others will want to know what that joy is all about. There is more to be grateful in this world than to be upset with. The Lord has done so many things for each one of us, if we were to be honest and look into our lives. So many things to be grateful about. The Lord has called us to be on the alert. While we wait for Him, we should not be careless. We should be alert. because the enemy knows your potential. The enemy knows your influence and impact because of the spirit that is in you. 1 Corinthians 16, verse 13, be on the alert, stand firm in the faith, be men of courage, be strong. The Lord wants us to be strong. We are not called to come and have all these pity parties. We are called to stand on the strength of our God. We are not the devil's lunch. We are called to show the world the strength of our God. We see this in Africa all the time. When you encounter people who practice voodoo and stuff like that, they'll tell you that there's a ring of fire around each and every child of the living God. Your God has not forgotten you or left you. It's not about how we feel, but what he has promised. He is with us. He is with you. But we need to stand on his strength. Standing on his strength means being in the Lord. Because we know that in ourselves, we are not strong. Our strength comes from the mighty God of Israel. But to be strong in the Lord, we must first be in the Lord. To be strong in the Lord, we must know the Lord's strength. Our God has unlimited resources of power and strength. From start to finish, the Bible proclaims the mighty power and strength of our God. Even when Yeshua came the first time, he came to save. He didn't come as a conquering king. Whenever he encountered the demons, they cried out, "Why have you come to destroy us?" He didn't even have a sword in his hands. That's the God you worship. If we make our God the object of our faith, our faith is going to be strong. We must know that our God is in control. Control of our lives. Unless we decide to walk away from him, he's got jurisdiction over all things, over all nations, and over all systems and peoples. The great God of Israel is the first cause. He is the effective cause. And is the final cause of all things. Our God is the source. He's the sustainer. And he is the significance of all things. Nothing is beyond him. He is a fighter. He's never lost a single fight or war. Ours is not a lost cause. We know how it will all end. It will all end in victory. I want to encourage you to stand tall and strong in your God. He is only a prayer away. Trust his word. He's already there in the future. This congregation is a prophetic congregation. The last time Jew and Gentile came together as a one new man was like 2,000 years ago. Therefore, the enemy will fight this congregation. If you're connected to this congregation, the enemy will try and fight you, try to discourage you, to doubt your faith, to doubt your salvation, doubt your calling. But we should hold on to our God. May we hold on to our God, because there's so many lives that are connected to our calling. Imagine if the 12 had refused to go out and proclaim the gospel. None of us would be here. Many of them were not men of resources. They didn't have the numbers. But they had the great God of Israel on their side. They had the spirit of the living God. If we step out in our calling, the Lord will do great things. And I pray that the Lord will continue to encourage you. You are born for such a time as this. The Lord does not waste workers. You are important. You're an important soldier in his army. And may he bless you, bless this congregation, bless this country, as we confront the forces of darkness, remember who you are. The Lord, when he looks at you, he says you are a light on the hill. But we sometimes concern ourselves with all the darkness around us. We get so worked out with all the darkness around us. May you spend your time, your resources, your imagination, and everything in the things of the light, because you are the light. When the Lord looks at you, he says you are the salt of the earth. Salt preserves. We are here to preserve true worship. We are here to transfer true worship to those who are seeking this great God. And remember that this is not a vacation, it's warfare. You get hurt. It's no time to quit. We are not those who withdraw, who give up. We stand till victory is assured. Shabbat shalom.